noodle more or less where you wanted it?
Yeah, it was a really good pitch. I was trying to throw it up and away, and I think I made the pitch. You know, it was looking for that pitch and I hit it.
It's another edition of the Talking Mets podcast here on this Sunday, September the 15th, 2024. Of course, I'm your host, Mike Silva. You can check me out all the time at thetalkingmetspodcast.com. You get me on X at Talking Mets, no G, and on your favorite podcasting service, Apple, Spotify, pretty much whatever podcasting service you desire. If you want to interact with me, Mike Silva at talkingmetspodcast.com, no G, Mike Silva at talkingmetspodcast.com. You can get me on Instagram, Talking Mets, no G. And don't forget the newsletter, substack.com/@TalkingMetsNoG. And of course, I want to thank the good folks on the Fansided Podcasting Network for supporting this show. Welcome to another edition of the Talking Mets Podcast. Big show for you. 2 weeks left. It's go time of the go time. Joining us for the first time from the Record Mets beat reporter Andrew Tredenick. He'll be joining me in the back half of the show. We'll get a feel of what's been going on with this team as he's been covering them all year. Reaction from the tough series here in Philadelphia and thoughts about what's to come over the next couple of weeks here. As just as we predicted, and we've talked about it for a while, it's really, I mean, the baseball season. And if you didn't get that vibe just watching the Mets play the Phillies this weekend, the baseball season is truly a tournament. It's basically you play 162 games now to get positioning, obviously winning a division and setting yourself up with one of the top two records is a big thing, and it's something to strive for. And those are the teams that win 95-plus ball games that play in that sphere and earn that right to basically get five ball games and just avoid the wild card wildness of the three games and what have you. And you look at these teams, whether it's Arizona or Atlanta or the Mets, San Diego, even with injuries and flaws, and truly, it's a tournament. Now, the Phillies are a tough team. They have great starting pitching, but you cannot say any of the teams in the wild card, even Atlanta, especially with their starting pitching, assuming they get Lopez back, they have Sal, they have Freed. Those are top two pitchers that can get you through a series. You can figure out the games that they don't pitch. But any of these teams can make it to the World Series and win and get hot during October. So getting in is just part of the fun. Winning it is a whole other thing. And it goes to show you that, I mean, you could win 100 games and be just, you know, out in a few days. And Atlanta has seen that and what have you. But anyway, that's another story for another day, which makes it all that much more frustrating where the Mets could have been a couple of J.D. Martinez fly balls over the wall that just maybe the wind blew out of sweeping the Phillies, even without Lindor, essentially for two out of the three games. And with a little bit better bullpen and what have you, we're talking about a different thing. But that's exactly where I'm going to start because, look, I know how you're feeling. And I had this conversation for those who were subscribers to Beyond the Mic on Thursday after the big ninth inning, breaking up the no-hitter against Toronto, the big home run by Lindor, MVP performance, Alvarez going out there doing what he did, and you have to feel good. It's been Mets mojo versus logic. When you look up and down the Mets on the baseball reference page, look, they're having a good year, no doubt about it, but they're not getting elite seasons. Even by the standards of these guys' average years, Alonso, J.D. Martinez, Nimmo specifically, even before he got hurt, he was starting to hit the back half of the year. McNeil was woefully below his career norms. Other than Lindor, they're not getting any of that. And the fact that they've played a big chunk of the season at 100-win pace, the fact that they are, just by finishing 500 over the final 2 weeks, a team that will be in the 87 to 88 win range, and could have been much more, could have been competing for a division title with a few things, a better May, better bullpen, better closer. We'll get to him in a minute. It just goes to show you the job that Stearns has done, the job that Mendoza has done. The fact that we're not really talking about them is a good thing because it shows that it's about baseball. It's about the team on the field. It's about the game. It's about winning. It's about the journey. It's not about all this other stuff that we've been talking about way too much, probably since the inception of the show, whether it be Brody Van Wagenen, Terry Collins, Louis, all the things that went on with Billy Epler and Louis Rojas, all the stuff that you've been talking about. Not that, you know, not to be talking about that now and getting into the weeds about baseball is a good thing, but really at this point, it's there's not a lot to talk about. You could debate the Lindor Otani thing. Obviously, the Lindor injury is a huge blow. Hopefully, it's just something that can be with an MRI, which is always ominous, that with some rest and real rest. Maybe just like, hey, let's shut him down for the Nats series. They should be able to navigate that. It's, obviously, the Nats are going to be one of those teams that, at this time of the year, those are your stub-your-toe games. Those are the teams that decide pennant races because they come to play. And they have guys who are looking to make a name for themselves. And let's face it, when you're in a tie game, eighth inning, I don't care if it's the Nats or the worst team in baseball or the best team in baseball. They're big leaguers. It's a game, and it's a flip of the coin. It really is. That's what it's all about. But you know, putting all that aside, it is really a time where the Mets just have to execute and get the job done. There's really nothing else to talk about. When the season is over, we'll talk about the job that Mendoza's done and Stearns and how he went about the season and what they need and free agency and where they can upgrade and is this guy declining and should they keep this guy or move on from that guy. That's conversation for after the season. Right now, the roster is what it is. And who knows, you know, Acuna, which... I don't know really much to say about him because you just saw a little snippet. You're throwing a kid who was struggling at times at AAA into a pennant race to play a premium position for an MVP candidate. That's asking a lot. He had a good debut. He's looked okay right now. But that is a big loss if Lindor is going to be out for any extended time. But even with that, when you look at this team, it's really at this point, are the guys that have gotten them there, are the guys that we've talked about, and the guys that have been so big, and it's Iglesias and Vientos and Danny Young and Luis Torrens and Reed Garrett and the starting pitching doing their job, or whatever it may be, are they ready to finish the deal? Are they ready to execute? Because the last couple of days, it's really been about lack of execution, specifically at the bullpen. Reed Garrett not getting a big out yesterday. Again, today, Diaz not getting the job done. And I think really when you look at this season, when it's all said and done, and we've talked about it over and over and over and over again, when you see when this season the book is finally closed, the amount of losses that Diaz has been involved in between blown saves and losses that he himself has brought upon himself, you know, Diaz has been responsible for about 10 games going in the wrong way. And let's not forget, earlier in the road trip, against Toronto, although he looked good the first couple of batters in the inning, he almost gave up a game-winning home run. So this could have been a disastrous road trip, a 500 road trip for Diaz. And when you get to this point of the season, and I hate to go this route, and I know I've talked about it before, so I don't want to belabor the point here, but when you have a closer that is getting paid $20 million, that's right up there with the highest paid closers of all time with Josh Hader, that had this career year that we're not even asking for 2022. We're asking for you to be and pitch like one of the top three or four closers in the game. And the top three or four closers in the game, when they get paid that kind of money, they don't get paid that money to get outs against the White Sox. They don't get paid that money to look dominant in April or dominant before Memorial Day. And whatever you did and look good in June and July and even August, that's just part of the requirement. What you really get paid for, what the difference is to get the big outs in September and then ultimately in October. And right now, we've never really seen Edwin Diaz do that consistently. He did not get a chance against Atlanta a couple of years ago. He did not get a chance to show his wares in any significant way against San Diego. At times in 2021 and certainly in 2019, I'll throw 2020 out, he failed in big spots when the Mets could have had some momentum. When they were trying to make the playoffs in those years, he single-handedly kept the Mets out of the playoffs in 2019. We all know about that. We've talked about that a trillion times. But at this point, you have to question, after what you saw today, where he looked so good against Bryce Harper, he looked so good in getting to the point where He had a couple outs and the winning run on base. But he loses that focus just for one batter, just for one pitch, makes bad decisions. And what the crazy part about Diaz has been is that it's always been something this year. It's been the velocity's down. Okay, he's coming back from an injury. Then the command was wildly off, and he struggled mightily in May. All right, they put him on the injured list to take a reboot. Then he finally rediscovers himself. He starts to build up the command and build up the velocity, and now his decision-making is off. Before we get back to talking about the pennant race, why don't you take a swing at Pick'em this baseball season on Underdog? Over a million fans across 33 states got in the game last year by making picks on Underdog. Went up to 1,000 times your money just by choosing higher or lower on your favorite player stats like strikeouts, total bases, and home runs. I, earlier today, picked total bases for Pete Alonso. I lost, but it's a great way to continue to stay into the game. Pennant race baseball, Mets trying to go and win a wild card. Why not add a little personal connection by going to Underdog Fantasy and making some picks and winning some money? Underdog is super easy to play, and it's even easier to get started. Go to their easy-to-use mobile app or to UnderdogFantasy.com. Sign up a promo code TALKING. There is a G, TALKING, and Underdog will give you a mystery special pick to use in your first Pick'em entry, plus a first-time deposit offer of up to $1,000 in bonus cash. That's Underdog Fantasy, promo code TALKING with a G, TALKING. Threw off a little bit there. You claim your new customer special of a mystery player pick and your deposit offer. You must be 18 or older, 21 or older in Massachusetts and Arizona, 19 and older in Alabama and New England, and present in a state where Underdog Fantasy operates. Terms do apply. Void in Colorado. Concerned with your play? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.ncpgambling.org. Arizona, 1-800-NEXT-STEP. Or text Next Step to 53342. In New York, call the 24/7 Hope Line at 1-877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369. Underdog Fantasy, what a great way to play out not only the final couple of weeks of the baseball season. There's NBA, there's NFL every Sunday. There's so much fun here. But for us here at the Talking Mets podcast, let's get out there and enjoy Mets baseball every night by taking part in Underdog Fantasy and do the Pick'em this baseball season, the final couple of weeks. And tell them that Talking Mets sent you by using the promo code TALKING, TALKING. Now back to Talking Mets baseball. And it's really one of those things where he's a fastball slider pitcher, and he's either kind of relied on one or the other for periods when he's been out there because he hasn't felt both or hasn't felt he could be effective at both at the same time. And I think it's really hurt him. Because a guy like JT Realmuto was just waiting, and he's timing. I mean, once you see the third or fourth fastball and you're a professional hitter like a Realmuto is, he's going to be able to time it and feel much better about. And he just, you know, he didn't do a lot with it. Just went the other way. And that's what you do against a fastball pitcher. You just go the other way. And I'm not going to get into the manager because the manager didn't lose the game today. The manager didn't lose the games over the weekend. The games were lost because the players didn't execute. You could quibble over whether you pushed Peterson too much and the decision to put Danny Young in the game yesterday in a big spot, or, you know, not to go to Maton earlier in the eighth inning, you know, and all those other things. I think those are things you could quibble about. But ultimately, you had a tie game. You had your elite closer, and you asked that closer, get me to the 10th inning where I get the free runner, where I could score a point, and then I'll figure out how to get three outs from this tough Phillies lineup in the bottom half. And he couldn't do it. And that's not the first time that he's done that, because he did it in San Diego a couple of weeks ago. And that's the thing about this team, and we've talked about it. We want to feel good, and we felt good after that Toronto ninth inning. And there's a lot to feel good about this team. But just when you think they're about to turn that corner and push themselves, something happens like today, whether it be what you saw against San Diego with the tough losses, or with Corbin Carroll in the Diaz eighth inning in Arizona, or now today and yesterday with the Phillies. There's always something. And nothing has all been, and I guess that's part of this wacky baseball journey that they've had. But that's where, as you go into the final week, you have to question, do the Mets really have it? When you look at the four teams out there, the Mets probably on paper, you want to see, you know, maybe their starting pitching has elevated them a little bit. The Mets on paper are not the favorites. And if you take away Lindor and now McNeil, that offense that was scoring 5 runs a game and it looked so easy, it doesn't look as formidable. And the thing that really needs to happen, not just with Diaz, when you talk about execution, it's high time that Brandon Nimmo and Pete Alonso carry this club for a stretch. They haven't done it at all. I mean, Brandon Nimmo, when you start to look at his numbers in the second half, an OPS under 600, hitting about a .160 in September. I mean, these are areas that you never would see, even when he's had his injuries and didn't play every day. You never saw Nimmo play this poor. Pete Alonso, we all know what we've talked about him. He hasn't really gone on that stretch that we've seen in the past where he goes 6 weeks and carries the club, just hitting the ball all over the place, over the wall. And now would be a good time for those two guys, with Lindor compromised, with McNeil out, with now a heavy reliance on a Vientos and an Alvarez and the component players like Iglesias, like Bader, like Taylor, like Winker. That's where when you start to ask those guys to do the heavy lifting while the stars are figuring it out, you get yourself into trouble and you get into offensive brownouts. Now is the time for those two guys. So if you really want to boil down the final 2 weeks and what's it going to take, well, we know the starting pitching needs to continue to do what it's doing. It almost has to at this point because the bullpen can't be relied upon to get too many outs. So you need Manaea to be Manaea. You need Peterson to continue to be Peterson. You need Severino to do what he's been doing. And then you hope when you get to the back half of the rotation with the Tyler McGills. And look at Quintana pitching like an ace, who a lot of people forget was a big reason why the Cardinals made the postseason a couple of years ago. You need all those guys to give you quality starts into the sixth or seventh inning. I mean, Peterson went into the eighth today. That's how far this rotation has become. Because I don't know if they're not good. I don't know how many runs are in this lineup right now. I certainly don't know how many outs are out of this bullpen. And if they're going to make the postseason, if that continues and they continue to play, you know, pitch well like they've been, well, now you got to take the baton, Pete. You got to take the baton, Brandon. And you've got to be able to carry this team offensively for a stretch, especially with Lindor out. And when it comes to the bullpen, I'm not going to sit here and criticize Mendoza because it's a tricky bullpen. Just when you think you figured something out where Budo's the guy and he's playing like Jabba Chamberlain circa 2007, he loses his command. Maton has been pretty good since he came over, so you're going to, you know, he's in the circle of trust. You can't do anything but go to Diaz. But other than that, you know, Reed Garrett and Ottavino and guys like that, like, you don't know what you're going to get. Danny Young, you don't know what you're going to get. I mean, think about it. The key outs that they're getting out of this bullpen are from guys, Danny Young and Reed Garrett, who were not even thought about in the offseason. Danny Young was a trash or treasure signing that we would write about over on the newsletter. Wouldn't even talk about him on the show. He was a newsletter, interesting conversation. Reed Garrett was a guy that we kept hearing had great peripherals on the analytics side, but stunk everywhere he went. And you were probably waiting, like I was, hey, when are they going to designate him off the 40-man and sign somebody? Meanwhile, he comes to the camp and he's been a big part of the bullpen. Now the lights are bright. Now is the time where you really need this thing to happen. And the last couple of days, these guys showed what maybe they're not all ready for the bright lights. Because quite honestly, maybe they're not as good as what they've produced at their best throughout the season. We'll see. You have a series against the Nats, which is your typical stub-your-toe series. These are the kind of series that we've seen in the past that could go horribly wrong for teams in pennant races like the Mets. The Mets have had experience botching these kind of series. Go back in history, 1998, losing games to the Marlins and the Expos, second division clubs that kept the Mets out of the postseason. You know, things like that. You always had series like that down the stretch in 07 and 08 against the Nats and the Marlins, teams that were out of it, that would just give them fits and play like world beaters. Some of that in the 90s was because everybody hated Bobby Valentine and wanted to push the Mets and not see them make the playoffs because they hated Bobby. Some of it is, if you're a Davey Martinez, you have this young club, you want to start preparing them to be in a position where they're playing in big games at some point in the near future. Well, how do you do that? You get exposure. Hey, go out there and play elite against elite teams. This is what you're aspiring to be. Play at your best. Don't be embarrassed. Don't make it easy for these guys. And like I said, once you get into late innings with any big league ball club in a tie ball game or a one-run game, where it's down to the closer and getting big outs and getting you know, making big pitches against big hitters, because they all have good hitters in their lineup somewhere, It's any other ball game. It doesn't matter what the records are at that point. They're good in that scenario, in that situation. So there's not much more you can say here, because you want to whine about the yoke. You want to whine about how it just continues to push the Mets, because every time there's a good vibe, whether it be the Senga start and then he gets hurt, or right after the Vientos walk off, you get the McNeil news, or just, you know, you have this great win against the Blue Jays in the ninth inning, breaking up the no-hitter, and then you blow the Phillies out on Friday night, and now Lindor is hurt. Yeah, that's baseball. That's part of what baseball is. And yeah, if this team is going to get to where they're going to get, or if they're going to turn the corner as an organization, they've got to exercise some of these demons. And part of that is not feeling sorry for themselves and not playing into the misery of, oh, well, it's there goes the Mets. LOL Mets. And a great point. I was talking to our friend Anthony Rivera of Subway to Shea the other day off air. And we were just talking, and he made a great point. He said, Mike, you hit the nail on the head during your Beyond the Mic video, little pep talk after the big win on Thursday afternoon in Toronto. The Mets almost have to go through this Braves series and beat the Braves to move forward as an organization, because they've never really done it. When they won in 06 and 15, the Braves were bad. They couldn't get over the hump in the 90s with those Hall of Fame pitchers. And then they had a chance in 2022 to take out the Braves mano a mano, and they couldn't get the job done in Atlanta. Now, yeah, Atlanta played out of their minds at a 117-win pace when they weren't playing the Mets that final, in the 3 or 4 months in the season. But the Mets had a 7-game lead and had a chance to show that things are different, and it looked an awful like the late 90s during that 2022 series, bringing up horrible Turner Field memories for Mets fans who have had way too many bad memories at Turner Field. More than, you know, you could write a column after column about it. So maybe the Mets need to go through this. Is 87 to 88 wins going to be enough? I don't know. It may take 90 wins. It may take 9-4. It may take them playing at close to 700 baseball to get this done. If that's the case, it's going to be tough, because now you're playing teams like Milwaukee that are division winners in the playoffs. You're playing Atlanta, who's every bit the team you are, even without some of their players. And then you're playing the Phillies, who are a 95-win team and going to win the division and be in a good spot to go to the World Series again with their starting pitching. So, you know, right now, that's where you're at. And it's go time, and it's about execution. And it's time that certain guys, and it's core guys that have been here for a while, Nimmo, Alonso, Diaz in particular, those three, have to step up and get the job done, and they did not get the job done this weekend. Maybe they did on Friday, Nimmo did at least, but not Saturday, not Sunday. And single-handedly, I think Diaz has to look in the mirror, and you know, he says, oh, I made the pitch, I don't have any regrets. Well, you could say that, but at some point, results have to matter. And every time Diaz has said that, it basically has come when the results really needed to matter, and he couldn't get the job done. So anyway, let's take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to have a conversation with Andrew Tredenick, North Jersey, the record Mets beat reporter, and we'll get a feel from him and see what he has going on over there at the record, and we'll ask his thoughts about the final weeks of the season, about the series in Philadelphia, and about Francisco Lindor and this injury, and what does he think about what's going on all around the Mets, as he's somebody that's in the clubhouse and covers the team since the beginning of the year. All right, let's take a quick break. We'll be back with more right after this.